This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you.
James, would you like a quick roll call?
Yes, please.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's IRTPC call on Tuesday, the 13th of December. We have James Bladel, Mike O'Connor, Kevin Erdman, Barbara Steele, Jacob Williams, Angie Graves, Matt Serlin, Phil Corwin, Chris Chaplow, Avery Doria, Jonathan Tenenbaum, Bob Mountain. From staff, we have Marika Konings and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have Simonetta Bottega, who will be joining late, as well as Zahid Jamil. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. And if I could also please remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, James and Avery.
And apologies, Gisela.
I didn't have any noted, Marika.
Michaela sent his apologies. That was at least one I got.
Lovely, thank you. Noted.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the IRTPC PDP teleconference for December 13th. And before we dive in, I notice that Mikey O'Connor has his hand raised. Is this a quick matter of housekeeping, Mikey?
Indeed it is. I want to introduce my friend Angie Graves, who's the newest member of the BC and also the newest member of the IRTP. Think of her as Barry Cobb 2, the sequel. And so I just wanted to welcome Angie onto the call and let you all know who she is.
Well, thanks, Mikey. In fact, we had left a placeholder on the agenda to reach out to Angie and welcome her to the group, also to give her an opportunity to briefly introduce herself, what part of the or slice of the community she hails from, and what interest she has in the fascinating world of inter-registrar transfers. Angie, would you like to say a few words?
Absolutely. Thank you for the welcome, and I'm glad to introduce myself. I have been online since 1991, and since 1994 have done consulting in marketing, policy, and technical areas for clients that include companies and individuals. And I really feel like I have a good awareness of user and consumer perspectives. So I'm very glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to participating.
Excellent. Well, we certainly welcome fresh perspectives on all of these issues, as some of us on these IRTP groups have become like old married couples. We certainly want other folks to keep bringing new perspectives, I think, into this process so that we don't get into some circular conversation. So welcome. And are you also, like Barry, are you also from the West Coast? Or
I hail from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay. East Coast. Not really coast, though. Eastern time zone.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, and with that, there is one other matter of housekeeping before we dive into item number two, and that is the call or reminder to update the statements of interest and make sure that Gisela has a statement of interest on file in the new system. And that, if you can see the list here, there are a few blanks in the list. Now, Angie obviously gets a pass. She's new to the group, and I know that she's working on her SOI, but we have a couple of folks that have yet to submit one there and wanted to issue a last call for statements of interest. We've had this on our agenda for, I believe, since this group started several weeks ago. So if you received a polite and then maybe a not-so-polite reminder from ICANN staff to get your SOI turned in as quickly as possible, please do so by the end of this week. Folks without SOIs, you know, on updated SOIs active in the new system, we will have to consider not continuing, that they are not continuing with this working group as of Monday of next week. We got to draw a line in the sand somewhere, I think, or else this kind of drags on into the next year and throughout the life of the working group. That doesn't preclude any changes or updates as we go along. This is for the initial SOI that's required when joining a working group. So if you received one of those messages, please take action and get your SOI submitted in the ICANN system. Okay, moving on to that, what I would like to do, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Avery, but if we can pull up the draft that Avery submitted to the working group a few days ago, and perhaps, Avery, you wouldn't mind walking us through this?
Sorry. Part of the call. Certainly, no problem doing that.
Okay. Thanks. I'll just turn it over to you then.
Okay, then. So I took upon myself the task to put down the first draft, and it is just the first draft. I'm more than willing to have it largely changed. So the first paragraph is basically just meant to introduce what it is we're about and why we're bothering them. Then certainly we can go through it also for wordsmithing, but I don't know if you wanted me to read it now or you just wanted me to talk about the sort of intent behind it.
Sure, I think, yeah, just over you.
Okay, well, I'll talk about it. So then the next couple paragraphs, I basically just quote, and a lot of this text, I freely admit, I stole from the notifications, from our charter, from the review, the comment review, et cetera. So then I decided that I should tell them what our chartered activities are, then explain the purpose of templates, which is to assist GNSO constituencies with producing their comments. So we've created an input template. We've decided to forward it to them on a voluntary basis to be used, and explaining why it was created specifically for, the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. We hoped, that it would be useful to them in doing theirs. There's the optional sentence for the CCNSO version about the need to come up with a way to talk to them further in terms of interacting on the transfer models issue. Then basically an invitation to participate in the last paragraph, either as representatives of their group or in their individual capacity. And would welcome a designated observer or participant in the group, and that they can use the template to do that. So I tried to get all that, tried to get it in one page. I was a little long-winded, not sure what could be cut out, but that was the basic general idea. So what this is about, so what the group is about, and then the specifics of the request and an invitation. Open to questions. Marika's got a question, as does James. Marika, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, this is Marika. It's more a comment than a question. And I think that an update can be made to the last sentence of the first paragraph, where it now says, as recommended by the new GNSO policy development process currently under review. I think that probably can be changed as adopted by the ICANN board as it was adopted on
Yeah. You're right. That was in last night's
right.
Report. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. James, are you muted?
Hi. Yep. Oh, sorry. I thought I was there. So thank you again for kicking this off. The only comment I had was whether or not the sentence about the input template, we want them to follow the template as much as possible, but we certainly allow for the possibility that maybe we haven't thought of something in the template. Is that something we want to say, or is that just kind of understood to be the case in these types of outreach efforts?
I'm sure. So basically, the content about them not having to use it, I think, is in there. The content that's not in there is that, of course, if they have other stuff to say other than what's in the template, they should feel free to say that too. You know, and I think it already says that it is voluntary because we're requesting that they consider using it as the basis. So perhaps
okay.
another sentence that said, you know, of course, you know, if you don't use the template, that's cool. And if you've got things to say that we didn't suggest in the template, please feel free. I mean, obviously, it would have to be wordsmithed better. But, yeah, that would be, that sentence would definitely add to it.
Okay, unless that's just too cumbersome or too obvious, then.
Nothing's ever obvious. and what I said was certainly too cumbersome. I could see why you'd have that impression, but I'm sure it could be wordsmithed in a way that wasn't cumbersome.
I think the wordsmithing is fine. I think it's probably good to go as is.
Okay, yes, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Abby. I think it's great. The only little comment I'd perhaps indent the three bullet points relating to the charter so that it's clearer when you've passed over that point, you're on to the letter per se. That was all
I
would say.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I had only written it in email, and I haven't done any beautifying on the thing, but that's a really good suggestion. And thank you. I guess it was Marika who put it on, you know, turned it into something that could be PDF, so I appreciate that. So a couple hands go by, then go down. So there's three changes that I've heard recommended so far, and correct me if I got it wrong. I haven't been noting things down. I've been looking at the text. The first was the change to the current reality about the PDP rules. The second was to add a sentence or that it was purely invited to use it, and any comments they have that are outside the template are certainly welcome. And then they always make the charter stuff indented and look like it's a quote. Did I get them correct? Any objection? Did I miss anything? Okay, thank you, James. So in which case... And then the idea was that it would be sent either by James or myself, but with both of us as signatories, and that we would be sending it, I believe, to, we had talked about, but correct me if I misremember, we definitely CCNSO with the extra paragraph, to the GAC, to the ALAC, and we had talked about also FSAC, correct? Anybody else?
I think that's correct. I think that was correct.
So those were the groups we were sending it to. Any others? Or I can't think of any others. I just if anybody else can that are relevant to this particular set of issues. And that was specifically why I also didn't say to several advisory committees and SOs because we were only sending it to one SO. Okay. So I guess I'll take it. I'll make the changes. I'll send a changed version out to the list just to make sure I got it right, and then I don't know, what do we want to give do we want to do a sort of last call, give a 48-hour period where people can raise objections before we send it off? Does that seem reasonable?
I think that's perfectly reasonable. I was thinking 48 hours exactly, so.
Okay, so I have a totally crammed day. I'll try to get it done today, but if I don't today, certainly tomorrow. And I have no conference calls tomorrow, so unless there's one I forgot about. So, and then I'll do that, and then James and I can talk about which one actually does the sending. I don't think that's terribly material.
Okay. Yeah, or we could just have staff send it on our behalf. I think that works, too.
That works just as well. I mean, I didn't actually ask staff to make the changes, but if they volunteered to do so, that would be okay with me, too. You know, but certainly. We can work that out between us. We don't need to do that now. Oh, Marika, happy to make the changes. Thank you, Marika. I gladly accept. As I say, I'm totally bottled up today. Okay, so then I guess that's it, in which case, back to you, James. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Avery, and once again, thanks for taking the lead on that and getting that draft put together last week and finalized this week. I think it's great, and maybe we'll get some additional participants as well. Rekha.
Yeah, this is Rekha. Just one last thought on this. Do we want to give any kind of like deadline, or saying, you know, we would really appreciate if you can provide, you know, any feedback by X date, or we just leave it open? I know we mentioned the deadline of the public comment forum, but that's already, you know, approaching very rapidly.
Personally, I would think that if we can align this as much as possible with a public comment forum, that will simplify our task of incorporating analysis of the feedback. But maybe that would be more of a suggestion or a nudge in that direction as opposed to a deadline. Oops, I'm sorry, I see Aubrey has her hand up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was an oversight on my part. I had thought to put something like that in there. I think it would probably be good if just we said the comment period for the stakeholder groups and constituencies is the following date, and perhaps something we understand, you know, that your schedule may differ, but the closer to this, the better, so that we can include it in the discussion.
And this is Rekha. That was actually what I wanted to suggest as well, because the, you know, 22nd of January is very close, but the deadline we've actually given to stakeholder groups and constituencies is the 6th of January. So I'm happy to include a line along those lines, and then, you know, people can review and provide feedback then accordingly.
Okay, thank you, Rekha. Okay, any other thoughts on this before we move on to the next item on our agenda? The queue is clear. Once again, thanks, Aubrey, and we will look for a finalized version on the list. The next item is number 3. There was a suggestion during the last call that we, as a working group, would conduct a live transfer or a demonstration on a live domain name of a transfer as exercise to better understanding of our understanding of the change of control function as it exists currently today. This was a suggestion, I think, initially proposed by Simonetta, and oh, I see she has joined the call. Fantastic. I didn't want to go too far down this road without Simonetta. So welcome, Simonetta.
Hi. Sorry for being late.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you. So wanted to spend just a few minutes here, maybe not more than 10 or 15 minutes, discussing how we could, in practicality, pull this off in such a way that it occurs under the lens of a microscope in such a way that the group can see all of the intricacies of the change of control / transfer function. And what would be needed to pull this off? We should note that this is typically not a free transaction, so it will probably be happening on someone's live account where someone is incurring some sort of at least a negligible expense. So can we brainstorm, just take a few minutes here to brainstorm about how we could do this, and then depending on where we leave it here at the end of the next 10 or 15 minutes, we may want to convene a small sub-team / task force to actually start going together and putting the pieces together to pull this off. So with that, I'll open the queue for brainstorming and different ideas, and starting with Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, yeah. Just almost by pure coincidence, my wife bought a domain last night, and she reached an agreement by email. And the seller proposed to use, I think, escrow.com, who she'd never heard of and was a bit unsure about, and actually persuaded the seller to put it into Sedo. That's just about to happen. So I can volunteer that one if we want to watch that one through the system. And that was my suggestion.
Thank you, Chris. I think both of those are viable options. I think one of the things we may get into here is that we're in a somewhat of a policy void, or a nice word that I learned from Emily Taylor was lacuna, so an absence of policy in this area here, and that therefore we're going to see a lot of non-standard but innovative market-based solutions offered, like those of Escrow.com and Fado, which is interesting and fascinating, but I wonder how much value they would have individually as a learning experience unless we were to do two or three of them so that we could have kind of a compare and contrast exercise. Angie, you're up next.
Hi, yes. I bought a couple of domains last Thursday and am currently in the middle of an intra-registrar process at GoDaddy and an inter-registrar process at GoDaddy and an intra-registrar process right now from Moniker to GoDaddy. I'd be willing to offer those up, you know, the details, if it would be of use to the group, and there's no escrow or other platform.
Okay, so those would, you have two then examples. One is internal to GoDaddy, and another one is from one registrar, from an outside registrar, from Moniker to GoDaddy. Is that, did I understand that's, the examples correctly?
That's correct.
Did
thank
I,
you.
Okay. I thought maybe I'd reverse the second part. Okay.
They're currently in process. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And this just kind of, I apologize, Simonette, I'll get to you in just a moment here. I just was thinking that we have a lot of folks offering up examples. Maybe the best approach here is kind of a homework assignment with a show-and-tell component where folks would go off and document their experiences and then bring them back, and we could do kind of a compare and contrast where folks would present their personal experiences with their individual scenarios. So that's one possible way we could approach this. Angie, do you have more to add, or?
Oh, let me take my hand down. Sorry about that.
No problem. Simonetta, go ahead.
I was wondering if maybe, and I don't know how this works with Adobe Connect, if we could do a transfer between two people on this working group and have the ability that these two people can basically share their screens, because a transfer process usually always starts with like two people coming to some kind of agreement they would like to do this, which we have in place here anyway. We would have to have someone who has domain names who's willing to like show the screen of what that looks like within their registrar's environment, and then basically creates or requests their authcode there so we can see how that works, and then swap over to the screen of the person who's purchasing or gaining this new domain name, and look at what they're doing with this, and then obviously we're going to go, we would be able to see that the registrars involved are sending out messages to both sides, or only one side, depending on which way it goes, and we can take a look at what that messaging says and looks like, and how it feels, and how it applies to this type of a situation where there's really two parties involved, and I think that would be one way to do it. Or we could do this offline and just basically assign this to two people who are going to do this, and they're going to document everything, put it in a kind of a presentation, and present it back out to the group next week.
Thank you, Simonetta. I went ahead and put myself in the queue. Just to first, I think, ask staff if that is a possibility, if the Adobe Connect supports the functionality that Simonetta has described, where an individual can share their screen live, we would make them as a host, and then they would share. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. It is possible to share screens, but you need to be a little bit of an expert user, and I've noticed as well that on certain platforms it doesn't work very well. For example, when I share my screen on a Mac, it doesn't work very well unless I close everything else and even minimize the Adobe Connect screen. I know, you know, Mikey does it very proficiently, and it works very well when he does it. So, you know, it would require a bit of practice to make that work. I was wondering whether, you know, you would have the same effect by, for example, having screenshots of the different sequences, and those, you know, you could easily put, for example, in a PDF document and run through those as an alternative. But, you know, if people want to try out to make it work in Adobe Connect, we could, for example, you know, try to test it prior to the meeting and make sure that it works, so we're not wasting people's time trying to do it during the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Marika. And that last bit was kind of addresses the concern that I was getting at with Simonetta's idea. While I think that the proposal that Simonetta has raised is probably the most comprehensive approach to presenting and learning this information, I think that if it isn't rehearsed and very tightly scripted, that it won't come off very well in a live session. A lot of these steps, as we've discussed here and in other groups, are asynchronous, so that you would have to leave one system, for example, your registrar account, go to another system, like email, and take some action there, and then come back to the registrar account where, depending upon the speed of the registrar system, it may be milliseconds, minutes, or hours before the next action is ready to be taken. And that's my concern with that live demo approach, Simonetta. So maybe perhaps if there were a way that we could, not live, but if we could record those steps and patch them together, eliminating the gaps or the time differences. Like, for example, on the cooking show, when they put together a cake and then they walk over to the oven and there's one that's ready that they worked on earlier that day. So something of that nature, I think, might be more conducive to as a learning exercise than trying to do it live. I'm concerned that it will not flow very smoothly. What are your thoughts on that, Simonetta? I don't want to dismiss
your
proposal.
No, it's totally fine. I mean, the PDF idea or, like, recording it and presenting back out is totally fine as well. I think it would just be really valuable for everyone if we're making sure that all the steps are captured. And there's so much you can learn with, and that's where I was coming from with the screen sharing idea, with these moments of confusion where people are like, I don't even know what I need to do next. And that's exactly what people are experiencing today when they're trying to transfer a domain name from A to B. It's like, it sounds very straightforward and simple, and it really isn't, because there's lots of steps involved, and a bunch of these steps make absolutely no sense for someone who tries to transfer the domain name from one owner to another at the same time with moving the name from registrar A to B. So, but we can definitely capture this in a PDF as well. It's just, it is a little bit of work. And we would have to, I'm happy to volunteer to be on the gaining side of this, but I don't have a domain portfolio myself, so I can't offer like an example of a name to trade. And I can't just go ahead and register one, because then it's in a 60-day lock, and we wouldn't have this example ready for quite a while. So I guess what we need is a volunteer who's willing to, like, offer a domain name up for this exercise, and then I'm happy to take the screenshots on the other end.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, I still have my hand up. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Bob Mountain. I do have a domain, so Simonetta, I'd be happy to work as the losing registrar and volunteer that one.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob. So, let's see if I can sum up where we're going here and propose a way forward. I think that we agree that while the maximum value lies in doing this live, I think that we're understanding that there's some practical limitations with the time differences and possibly limitations of Adobe in being able to look over, to have a whole group looking over someone's shoulder. So I would propose, as a way forward, that we assemble a few what we call, I don't know if we want to call it a sub-team, but more of a, like, working pairs on this issue where, for example, Bob and Simonetta could go and put together an example of a change of control from Bob to Simonetta. And also we could leverage Angie's offer to demonstrate the inter and intra transfer processes that she was describing. And I think we could start to document those and plan a time to present those back to the group. I'm just giggling a little bit at the chat between Bob and Simonetta. Yes, make sure that if you if you're actually transacting in domain names, that you either pay the person or you give it back once the exercise is over. Was there anyone else that would like to join in this effort and put together some examples to bring back to the group and demonstrate this process? Marika, are you volunteering, or perhaps
no,
you have something you'd like
to
add?
I'm not volunteering, but I do recall, I think, that Michaela on the last call mentioned also that he might have some names that he would be willing to, you know, transfer or you know, change ownership as an example, so maybe it's worth checking back with him as well.
Thank you. Excellent reminder. I had forgotten that, and I will individually reach out to McKelly. Anyone else interested in running off and kind of creating this this material to share? Chris?
Yes, I'm happy to do it with the domain I just mentioned earlier. But I'll
okay.
document it through the process and bring it back to the team.
Okay, excellent. And I see Barbara as well. Barbara.
Hi, this is Barbara. I just wanted to say that I'm happy to be a resource to the extent that somebody has questions about, you know, registry system and the timing of all of this, because some of the things we want to make sure is that we're using some existing domain names that really haven't had any changes made to them in a while, because at least from our perspective, if you're looking at .com or .net domain names, then in those extensions, there is that 60-day restriction that's systematically imposed from the time that a domain name has been initially registered.
Good catch, Barbara. Thank you. I think that's an excellent idea. I would, however, just kind of throw out the idea that perhaps Barbara's role should be minimized as much as possible. Because typically registrants involved in a change of control don't have a really helpful friend at a registry that can assist them with visibility on what's going on behind the scenes or give them any advice. So to keep the results as pure as possible, we probably should want to make sure that Barbara doesn't isn't too helpful.
Are you thinking I may skew the results, James? No, I do understand that, and I respect that, and I think that is a good point as well. If we're trying to get, you know, truly a real scenario, then I think that's fine. I just do know that, you know, I am available as a resource if you have questions that I may be able to help with. So.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of like in the real world, you don't have this. What do they call it? A deus ex machina, you know, standing over your shoulder, making sure you don't mess something up. Maybe we need to mess something up. Okay, well, do we have a kind of a roster of folks that would want to participate in that? I know Simonetta, Bob, Chris, McKelly, Barbara, as much as possible. Was there anyone else that wanted to volunteer for this? Angie, I'm sorry, Angie, I skipped on that one.
Thank you.
Simonetta, go ahead.
I'm wondering about, there's really two scenarios. There's within the same registrar and there's between two registrars. James, I don't want to like put work on your plate, but do you think you could do a within GoDaddy example of screenshots?
I would be perfectly willing to. I thought that was one of Angie's examples that she was offering.
Okay.
Did I catch that correctly, Angie? That was one of the ones you were putting on the table?
Correct.
Okay. So I think if you need any help in that regard, anything I would put together would be now similarly putting myself in the same category as Barbara is that I can show you some of the internal training and operations materials that we have. But if we want to keep it as, pristine as possible, we have to assume that folks don't always have access to those things. Okay, so it sounds like we're putting together a sub-team of sorts. Do we want to do this individually, or would those folks who are performing these transactions like to coordinate, perhaps? And if so, if it's the latter, then can we draft someone as a volunteer to lead that effort? Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I think coordinating would probably be a good idea, especially if they're going to be put together in sort of one exhibit to just have a quick agreement and to give each other support with the technical parts of it. But I am not volunteering.
Oh, shoot. I thought we were going to get some additional volunteers on that. So, okay. Any other volunteers on that then? For that group, or any other folks want to offer themselves up as a kind of a de facto leader of that sub-team? Kind of looking at some banana right here.
I'm so swamped in work right now.
I know. But it was such a good idea. Okay, fair enough.
I'm happy to coordinate this with Bob, but I wouldn't want to like have like five other meetings to coordinate the efforts of the other examples. I just don't have the time for this right now. I'm really sorry.
Understood. A very lightweight process is always appreciated. And Bob, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was a tad distracted. What exactly, maybe just explain what we're looking for in terms of the coordinator on this?
I think we're looking for someone to ensure that we have all of the scenarios covered, that we are putting together the information in some sort of a, it doesn't have to be exactly the same format, but at least in some sort of consistent manner so that we can effectively contrast the different methods, and then ensuring that they're all complete and submitted back for presentation by a certain date specific, and then going forward from there. So I think it's those three tests.
Yeah, okay, cool. No, I'll sign up. Just obviously need help from the participants, but I'm happy to pop a few emails and coordinate that.
Thank you very much, Bob. Certainly appreciate you stepping forward on that, and I think Simonetta has also volunteered to help as much as she is able, but she is pretty small.
Oh, yeah, she'll be involved, no question.
Okay. Okay, excellent. We look forward to that group, and of course, Aubrey and I, oops, I shouldn't speak for Aubrey, but I didn't want to exclude her. But, as the co-chairs of the overall working group, we would be at your disposal as well if you need assistance or extra staff resources or something like that. And I shouldn't have spoken for Aubrey, but I think she feels the same way. Okay. Well, I see Jonathan. About ready to close this off. But go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'd be willing to volunteer and provide any of the back end help on the on the domain examples and all that kind of stuff. I meant to chime in earlier. I'm trying to I'm unfortunately home with a sick kid, so I've been spending most of the call just on mute monitoring. And sorry if you can hear him kind of yelling a little bit in the background. But yeah, whatever you guys need. I mean, whatever we can do, on our end, to be one of the registrars. On either side of any of these domain transfers, just let me know. And, we can also, as far as, waiving whatever costs we can and that kind of thing, either on the NetSol or the register.com side.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. And we'll make sure that the folks working on these, compiling these scenarios know that they can reach out to Jonathan if necessary. Okay. So any other thoughts on this subject before we move on to item number 4? The queue is clear, so let's spend the balance of the time going back into Mikey's mind map, which I think is taking shape very nicely. And remember, this is the approach to our charter questions, trying to resist the temptation to dive into the meat and potatoes of the charter questions themselves and just laying out what an approach to those questions might look like and what sort of information or subordinate questions we would like to address as part of that effort. So I don't mean to put Marika on the spot here, but I see she's making some edits. So Mikey or Marika, can we perhaps just give the team kind of a snapshot of where we are with this document and what lies in front of us and what our next steps are, and then when do you feel like we can hold something up and say, yes, we have a workable approach and we can go forward with this plan?
This is Mikey. Since I'm the one that's driving, let me do that. Marika, is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys did that so seamlessly. I had no idea whose screen we were looking at.
I tell you, you got to get up pretty early in the morning to get in front of Marika and Mikey. So here's what we've got. Let me check. Is this font big enough that you can read, folks? If it's not, just sing out and I can make it bigger. But there's a lot on the page, and so it's nice to have a pretty small font. Mountain can read it. I'm getting chat. Hang on a minute. Bladel can only barely read it. All right, that's... I always listen to my chairs. Okay, let's do that. Is that better? Just sing out, James.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so we've got three charter questions. Here they are, highlighted in blue. And what we've been working on today is the change of control one, item A. And I've shrunk it down so that you can kind of see the process as it stands in the notes right now. This is by no means to say that it's all done or that it's in the right order. This is just what we've got right now. And I think what I'll do is I'll expand each one at a time. Otherwise, the font's not going to work. So on this one, we've got early in the process, understand why we're looking at it, compile the background information, determine whether this is a comment that came up on the first call, I think, determine whether this is even appropriate for ICANN to consider. That may be out of order. Investigate how it's currently being done, and that's really where we were talking about this education exercise, and I took little notes of today's. I'm just going to expand the whole thing. You can see how these mind maps can get pretty overwhelming, but I took notes on the conversation we had today just to capture this. So to sort of show you how to navigate one of these maps, what I've started doing is posting this map to the wiki in three forms every week after the call. I post it as a PDF, which gives you a little viewer that you can walk up and down these legs yourself, so you can expand and contract things like I'm doing on the screen. And that, I think, is the easiest way to look at this, but it's also the biggest file by far. It's a meg and a half or something like that. Then I also post it as the actual file that I'm working on, and I'm delighted to report that Avery has joined the MindJet cabal, and so if I'm ever sick or not able to make a call, Avery is coming up to speed on this tool as well and actually made a few changes on the last version. So we've got a backup there. And if anybody else would like to get a hold of this tool and learn it, I'd be happy to coach folks. But anyway, so that's what we've been doing today, is working on, I'm going to shrink all this back down, how we do these things today. We also included in Avery's note a piece of this work, which is, are there any applicable models in the country code space, hopefully we'll get a bite on some of that. Then we've got a chunk of work to do, maybe to draw up an ideal process, and we've got the beginnings of some of that going on. Send the ideal process back to the registrars for review, incorporate those changes into the ideal. Maybe this is the place to put whether, you know, I think maybe move this down here, determine whether this is even a policy that's appropriate for us to consider. We'll be a lot smarter at this point. Draft changes to the new policy, we've got a few goals in there, and then do some educational materials. So that's kind of where we're at on change of control. I think it might be a good spot to stop. How much time have we got? Well, I haven't got. I tell you what, James, I think what I'm going to have to do is just run through these to give you a snapshot of where we're at. If we don't really have time to do a whole lot of revision here. Let me catch up with the chat for a minute. I just realized I haven't been watching.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. And I was just going to mention that if we could just get an overview and then if we can kind of send this out to the list, I think we are getting close to something that we can call complete. I wanted to save the last 3 to 5 minutes for a discussion of scheduling, so you're free to go up and talk.
Yeah. Okay, let me just rip through what we've got at that same level on the next two. We're a little sketchier on this one. Let's see. Let me just see how this expands.
Also, we have a queue, so let me know when you're in a good spot for that.
Oh, Simonetta, go ahead. I'm sorry. I haven't been watching. Yeah, James, if you could mind the queue and just interrupt me like that, that would be great.
We'll do.
I think it might help in terms of like making sure that our approach is complete to look back at the actual charter questions and then compare to the items that we have in our approach to see if we've captured everything that was in the charter question. And one item that is in charter question A that I'm not sure if our approach completely includes, it kind of touches a little bit on the identify why we're even looking at this question, but there's this aspect of security in there. So I'm not sure if that is completely captured in our approach yet.
So
comparing the actual question to the approach for each one of them might help us to identify what other steps we may need in our approach to be able to really come to a good result for this.
Okay, I'll add an action for that. Okay, let me zoom forward. James, you know, we're getting close enough to the end, and this is elaborate enough now that we might want to just pause at this point and pick it up first thing on the next call. It's your call, but...
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Mike. Yeah, because I had just two more housekeeping items, I guess, to discuss. So if you think that's the end of the overview, then I would put out to the group that you know, this is available, if I'm not mistaken, this is available on the wiki, and Marika has sent a list or a link to that. Is that correct, Marika?
Yes, that's correct. There's also on the item 4 on the right-hand side of the Adobe Connect, that link.
Okay. And we can use that. That is a mind map, but there's also a PDF version. Is that correct?
Yeah, the PDF version is the one that you'll want to use unless you want to buy this software.
Okay.
And that's the one that lets you walk through the map in pieces rather than the web version is my tip of the hat to people who don't have either Adobe Acrobat's reader or this software, but it's dreadfully hard to read because it's the whole thing in an outline, and it's very bushy.
Okay, but ultimately we would need something in a format that can be shoehorned into our final report, right? So whether that's media or...
No, this exports nicely to Word. You know, I think at some point what we want to do is trim off a bunch of this stuff. These are basically notes of meeting conversations. At some point we're going to want to trim this up into a document that's quite a bit less bushy.
Okay.
And I wouldn't call that process even started yet.
Okay.
You know, I view these as sort of the notes of conversations that we've had on these topics, but not a finished approach yet at all.
Okay, Aubrey?
Yeah, one of the things about the outline form for when we're ready is the way I've often used these tools is, in fact, to create the mind map, to see it, to visualize it, but then I've taken that outline, bushy being a nice term for it, as Mikey says, and used that as the core of the written work. I mean, it's generally when I have to write a synthesis of a meeting, that's the kind of tooling and the kind of use I make for it. So that outline that you see in the HTML is difficult to work with and discuss now, but it is actually quite a good tool for initiating the next step. Thanks.
Yeah, and this is Mikey. I agree. I generally go from this to the outlining in Word because it exports right into the Word outlining framework that the staff use. So on the DSSA stuff, we've dropped a few of these right into Word documents that have turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't mean using the HTML format.
Yeah, the HTML is pretty rugged.
Okay, so do you think that maybe in the next call or maybe in two calls we would be able to have something like that in that format finalized, or is that
Well, I think that what we ought to do is take a pretty big chunk of the next call and sort of, rather than just having Mikey's note-taking, you know, actually go through this and say, wait a minute, that's not in the right sequence. Let's put that later. And that's dumb. That's not... Who came up with that idea? Oh, it was Bladel. Well, we don't have to listen to him. I think we've got a kind of a group edit to do yet before we've got something that we can publish. And then the publishing is very fast. As Aubrey said, it's really easy to go from this to a published document. But I don't think that the group has really had a chance to look at this and think about the implications. The issue that Simonetta brought up is a perfect example where we need someone kind of keeping an eye on the charter questions and saying, well, have we touched all the bases? No, we missed this one. Where does it go? Let's put it in the right place, blah, blah, blah. But I think we could probably wrap up the meat of it pretty fast on next week's call, and then getting to a publishable form as quick as a wink.
Okay. All right, so what if we allocate the balance of next week's call to go over this in detail? I think that jives with our work plan, and I'll double-check that offline. But let's plan on that. And we only have just a couple minutes, and there was one other subject I wanted to cover. So if we could saw off on here, Mikey, with the expectation that this is where we're going to pick up next Tuesday.
Yep, that's
fine
with me.
Okay, thanks. And if everyone could take a look at that some point in the next 7 days using that link, that will allow us to hit the ground running with, and if we flag those areas of concern, similar to what Simonetta caught earlier today, I think that will make the most efficient use of that time next Tuesday. Next question is about scheduling. Regardless of your location or, I guess, belief system, there's no getting around the fact that a large number of folks will be experiencing absences due to holidays over the next coming weeks. And I think that we discussed that we are okay looking at the calendar until January 3rd. I think that that was one area where Marika and I were discussing the calendar and wanted to make sure that the expectation was synchronized on this group, whether we would or would not have a call on Tuesday, January 3rd. We could send out a doodle poll on the list, but candidly, I think we have enough a representative body of the working group on this particular call that we could make that decision today of whether or not we want to have a meeting on Tuesday, January 3rd. So if you are available for, this is in the Adobe chat room, if you are available for a meeting on Tuesday, January 3rd, if you could, I'm not saying prefer that, if you are available, could you put the green check mark up? And if you are absolutely unavailable, and just there's no way you could do January 3rd, if you could put a red X up by your name, and we'll get a kind of a sense of whether or not that meeting is even possible. And I see so far one red X from Phil, but otherwise I think it looks like the majority of folks are available, even if it isn't the sort of thing that folks, I think, you know, it's January 3rd. If you're in the U.S., you'd probably rather be watching college football. I know I would. But I think, okay, I think that's pretty clear. We'll go ahead then and schedule that meeting, Marika, noting that we may have a few more apologies that week than we typically do. Okay, well, thanks for that brief bit of housekeeping, and I think we have some solid action items. I think we are on target with a very aggressive work plan. I see that the commitments to participate are coming back. I thank you for your indulgence in that little experiment. And if there are no other items of business, we'll close the call for this week. And everyone have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James. Thanks, everybody.